Appreciate the invitation to be here, and I, you know, when I was sitting there, I was looking for a clock on the wall, and I don't see one, and so I don't have my watch with me. So, Brandon, can I borrow your watch, or you just hold up your hand when it's time to quit, okay? But anyway, good to be here. Appreciate Elder Will inviting me, and appreciate y'all allowing me to come here. And looking at all these little babies and everything around here, it just, it's like a ray of sunshine. It's just, you know, I just love it, okay? I just love it. And if one of them gets a little out of hand, don't worry about it. It's not going to bother me in the least, because I love them. We enjoyed the wonderful hospitality last night of Brother Stuart and Sister Sandra and our little buddy Jonas there, and so... It was a wonderful thing, and seeing Brent and Rose and those beautiful little kids, you know, they just does my wife and my daughter and myself, it does our heart good to see them on Sunday morning in church and thank the Lord for it. And all the rest of the little babies, too. I don't want to leave anybody out, okay? But I was thinking about in Psalm 127, it said, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of his womb is his reward." So I think it is a wonderful, wonderful thing, and thank the Lord for them. And, you know, it says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And bringing them to church is part of that deal. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, he says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And I want us to think about that scripture this morning, because you're probably going to hear me say that several times. It's talking about God. You know, this morning we have a magnificent God. I mean, He is a magnificent, He's worthy of your love, and He's worthy of your praise. And if we look into the Bible there, and I know all of you believe that the Bible is God's Word. You know, it's God's Word right from the beginning to the end. We know that all Scripture is given of inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. You know, the Bible is a wonderful way that we learn and learn about God. You know, it says right here in Genesis 1, beginning at verse 1, it says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." Now, do you believe that this morning? I do with all of my heart. You know, that's good enough to live on. It's good enough to die on, isn't it? "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." Don't you wish that everybody believed that? You know, we have people, and for years, you know, they try to take the credit away from God and put it on something else, and they call it science. And a lot of times you'll save up your money and you'll send your kids away, and you want to get them a good education. You know, we all do, because you want them to learn professions and trades and things like that, where they can get married and have children and raise their families and you know, create a good lifestyle for them. And we'll send them away to college, and we find out later that the college has been infiltrated with wickedness and liberalism. And all of a sudden, you know, maybe they say it about maybe 60% of children when they graduate from high school and go to college, that 60% of them never come back to their home church. You know, that is sad. You know, that's not just an old Baptist. You know, that's overall. And that was told to me by an Assembly of God area director. And I'm sure that he got it correctly. You know, he probably studies those things. But a lot of times, you know, we save our money up and we send our kids away to college. And if you don't watch, some of those ungodly people will, you know, they'll destroy everything that you taught your children, bringing them up. So we need to be careful about that, and then you pay for it. You get the bill for it. But he says right here, "In the beginning God created the heaven and earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." You know, God is a wonderful, wonderful God, and He is worthy of thy love, and He's worthy of thy praise. And in Psalm 146, you know, the psalmist tells us, he said, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, O my soul." He said, "While I live, I will praise the Lord." Now, what more, you know, could you do? What better thing could you do in your life than praising the Lord and walking in His ways? He said, "While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being." You know, there will come a time when we all lay down and we give up the ghost and we pass away. And what is people going to think about you? What is going to be their memory of you? Are they going to say, "Well, you know, my dad was a low-down drunk, and he, you know, he made life miserable for our family"? I have people tell me that. I'm in the barber business. I hear everything. People tell me everything. A lot of times they tell me things they shouldn't tell me. But anyway, I hear everything. And I cut a man's hair one time, and he's a good, godly man. And he told me, he said, "My dad was a drunk." And you know, a lot of times, you know, everybody tries to soften it all up. So say, well, don't call them a drunk. You know, be politically correct. You know, call it alcoholism. Call it a disease. Well, that don't sound too bad, does it? What the Bible says, drunkenness, don't it? Said, go ahead and call it what it is. You know, that's like the old man come home drunk. His wife was mad at him. And he said, and of course, you know, those guys that do that sort of thing, they know how to get everything back in order, you know, to where that the wife will forgive them and let them come back in where they'll have a place to stay. So he said, oh, honey, I want you to pray for me. Just pray for me. You know, I got problems. You know, pray for me. She said, okay. And they knelt down and started to pray. And she said, Lord, you know, John has come home drunk again. He said, honey, don't tell him I'm drunk. So, you know, but the Bible says drunk, don't it? But anyway, this man said, said his dad was a drunk. And he said, you don't know how many nights that I would lay in the bed and I would wish he'd get killed in a car wreck. I mean, isn't that the awfulest thing in the world, isn't it? I mean, do you want people to think that about you? Well, I don't want nobody thinking that about me, do you? I'd rather say that he was a good, godly person. That's about the greatest compliment that you can ever give anybody. He said, while I live, I will praise the Lord. Yeah. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. And he says right there in verse 3, he says, put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man. He's talking about don't put your trust in people. You put your trust in God. You know why you don't put your trust in people? Because people lay down and die. You know, we're all mortal. We're mortal beings. We're just passing through, you know, somewhere between zero or conception and 120 years. You know, all of us will lay down and pass away. He says, put not your trust in princes nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. He said, his breath goeth forth and returneth to the earth. And in that very day, his thoughts perish. Has no, you know, they don't know anything that goes on under the sun, do they? Say, well, I've got a lot of trust in the man we got elected president, you know. Well, I do too. You know, I do too. You know, you say, well, you shouldn't talk about politics, but, you know, I was for him all the way, you know, from the very start. But anyway, you know, I thank the Lord. I feel like we dodged a bullet there. And, you know, if you believe the other way, you know, you got that prerogative. That's your business. And that's, you know, but anyway, you know, but I'm not going to look at that man and think he's going to do everything. God, if God is not in control, it won't work. It won't work. But if God is in control, it'll work out just fine. But man, we know that man lieth down. No matter how smart you are or how mean you are or how rich you are, you know, there'll come a time when the life will go out of us, isn't it? And then all that's left there is the memories of us. And the Bible tells us, he said, and their works do follow them. You know, you think back on your parents. I've lost both of my parents, but, you know, I think back upon them, and I'll be out working a lot of times, and I'll think about my old daddy, you know, or my little sweet mother. And, you know, I draw a lot of strength from that because, you know, they were good people. You know, they were good people, and I loved them with all my heart, and I learned a lot, you know, from them both. And I learned that you're supposed to work. My dad was a hard-working man. One time my brother was over at the house and I said, Millard, I said to you, what do you think about lazy folks? He said, I don't like them. I said, well, you know why that you don't like them? He said, why is that? I said, because you've heard our daddy say, you know, that a lazy person ain't a bit of count. You might say, well, that's bad English. You know, it may be bad English, you know, but that's the way it is. You know, everybody's expected to work, ain't they? And people that think they can get by without working, you know, they can be somebody else's friend, okay? I like working people. And, you know, for years I had my own shop there. And, you know, at one time I had about 13 employees. But I don't do too well with employees. And the reason being is because I work like a dog, okay? And I think everybody that works for me is supposed to do the same thing. And when they don't, I get upset. So, that's maybe the fault of mine, but that's just the way it is because we were taught all of our days to work and work hard, and that we did. But anyway, man lies down, his breath goes out of him, he returns back to the earth. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. But it says, happy is he that hath God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. God is so magnificent, isn't he? It says right here that the Lord telleth the number of the stars. He made the sun and the moon, the stars and everything, made the earth and everything that's in it. And he says he telleth the number of the stars. Isn't that magnificent? That we got a God that he not only knows all the stars, he's got every one of them named. That's something that our so-called smart people don't know, isn't it? But it says the Lord lifted up the meek and casteth the wicked down to the earth. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. We got Thanksgiving coming up, and isn't it wonderful to be able to get together with your families and your loved ones and sit down and have Thanksgiving dinner? Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful thing?
Amen.
I remember back in November of 1968, they sent me to Vietnam, and I was in a training camp there, the last one before we go out to the field. And they had a kind of like a chapel there, and they had a big long table in it, and almost long as from here to that door. And that table had food all over it. And you hear people talk about how awful army cooking is. This army cooking was good. This was some of the best tasting food that I ever seen. Everything that you could think of was on that table. But you know what? And I ate it and I enjoyed it. But you know what? The truth of the matter was, I had a little mother and daddy and brothers and sisters back home, and had a little blonde-headed, blue-eyed girlfriend back in those days, and I'd rather be home with them eating a cold sweet potato than to be eating all that food where I was. So the whole idea, see where your happiness lies. Your happiness lies in your love for the Lord and in your love for your loved ones, isn't it? Your little children. He says, the Lord lift, said, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving, sing praise unto the Lord. See, the Lord is worthy to be praised. He tells us right here, he said, but God hath not given us a spirit of fear. Say, well, do you go through life fearful of everything? Do you worry about everything? The man made a statement one time. He said, sometimes I worry that I can't think of nothing to worry about. So, that is really what you call a worry ward, isn't it? Yeah. You worry, 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 and you're afraid. You say, like, nothing is going to work out. You're so afraid, that nothing is going to work out. See, as we look right here, that's why we need to put our trust in Almighty God, isn't it? In the book of Numbers, the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt. Heavy bondage. They were like slaves, and boy, they were working them to death, and they were, they were doing a lot of horrible things to them. They began to grow in numbers, and the Egyptians began to worry because they thought if a war breaks out, we're going to be outnumbered, and they're going to destroy us because there's so many of them. So you know what they started doing? They started killing the babies, didn't they? Started killing the babies. Say, well, that's the awfulest thing that I've ever heard of. I've never heard of people doing things like that. That's, they take those little babies out, and they give the nurses that delivered them, they give them orders to kill them if it was a man child. But they didn't do it, did they? And then they realized what was happening. Then they told them every time a man child come, just throw it in that river and let the alligators have it. Isn't that the awfulest thing in the world? Killing little babies. You remember a few years ago when all that stuff started and it got really popular, And then they start, sometimes people keep up with the stats on that, and they can tell you about how many babies that have been killed in their mother's womb right here in the United States. And I'll bet you, and right now we're having trouble with about 11 million people that have come across the borders, and we're using them for labor. Wouldn't it have been so much better had we not killed all them babies, and we'd have had our own labor force, wouldn't we?
Amen.
See how one problem leads to another? You do one evil thing, and then another evil thing happens. You know, that's the way life is set up, isn't it? But if we put our faith in the Lord and do what's morally right, we don't have to worry about it. But anyway, the Lord sent a deliverer to them, and Moses went down to Egypt, and he went down there to deliver them out of the bondage of the Egyptians. And so they go out into the wilderness. The Lord says, I want you to go into Canaan's land. You know, they got a lot of people in Canaan's land, but, you know, I'm going to fight for you. You put your faith in me and go in there and fight, and I'll deliver it unto you. Well, notice he said they had to fight, didn't they? They had to do something. It wasn't just handed to them, was it? So, but anyway, they picked out a man out of each tribe, and they sent him down to Canaan's land to spy it out. And then when they went down to Canaan's land, they got there at the time of first ripe grapes. And boy, those grapes were so good. You know, they had a big, cluster of them. They had to take a stick and put it between them in order to carry them. And I thought, man, I wish my grapes had done that good this year. You know, I let my little vine just like to die and didn't get any on it. But anyway, they got there at that time of the year, and they checked it out, and it truly was a land of milk and honey, wasn't it? But they saw something there that scared them. Remember, it says the Lord has not given thee the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. See, they saw some people there that were big people. I mean, they called them Anakims. You know, they were giants. And then, you know, there was two men out of those 12 that told the truth. And that's the only two that you remember their name. See, nobody remembers a liar's name, do they, hardly? Two of them told the truth, Joshua and Caleb. So if you want people to remember your name, tell the truth. So anyway, he said, nevertheless, the people, he said, it's a land that floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Said, nevertheless, the people are strong that dwell in the land, that dwell in walled cities, and they're great. They're the children of the Anakims, and they're, you know, they were scared to death to go up to battle with them, weren't they? Say, well, they might have had a good reason, you know, to be afraid, because they were these Israelis, they were under bondage, and at the time, you know, when that, you know, a lot of them, they didn't have weapons. We get back to another thing. You say, well, you know, here we go again. Yeah, here we go again. You know, say, you know, you take up their weapons, they got no way to fight, have they? And you remember when old Saul, you know, when he was fighting the Philistines, and they went up against those people of the Philistines, you know, they did not have any weapons made of iron, because they had, you know, the Philistines had took all the meal rights of the meal people away from them. They couldn't make knives and things like that, and they had to go down to the Philistines in order to get their instruments that they worked with sharpened. So, you know, that puts people in a helpless state, don't it? So if somebody comes along and, you know, they say, well, you know, I know you people are good, but, you know, y'all don't need these weapons. Y'all don't need any way to defend yourself. You know, you better watch people like that. You better watch them, okay? Because, you know, I'm at home and I've got... you know, you say, well, you're a preacher, you oughtn't be having no guns in your house. Well, I've had guns in my house all my life. I've got a shotgun, and my dad had them around the house. They never shot anybody, and none of the kids, they were trained not to bother them as they're hanging over the doors. But anyway, I've got a double-barrel shotgun. I've got a .22 rifle. I got two pistols. They ain't never shot nobody. And I'll be 70 years old, in my birthday if I'm alive at the time. But anyway, I don't want nobody taking them guns from me. I don't want nobody taking them, okay? You know, because them guns ain't going to hurt nobody. And they won't ever be used, unless my life or my family's life is in danger. And the Lord gave us the responsibility to take care of your families. So that's just the way it is. I'll let that go right there. But anyway, He has not given thee the spirit of fear, but of power and of a sound mind. So we'll see right here in Psalm 23, verse 4. He says, "Yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." See, when God is with you, you don't have to fear anything or anybody, do you? Not even death itself.
Amen.
He said, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." See what happened to the children of Israel there? They got afraid. They didn't put their faith in God. They was thinking in terms of themselves. So we can't go up against them and fight them. They're too big for us. So, well, how big were they? Well, I was reading in one place there when it's talking about those giants. They said the king of Og of Bashan, Og the king of Bashan, he had a bed that was 18 feet long. And is 8.5 foot wide. Now that's a big man, isn't it? 18 foot bed or 18.5 foot bed and 8.5 inches wide, that is a big man. And if you had to go up against him, with like little fellas like us, back in the early days of the pioneers and all, people weren't that big. You go up to Jack Daniel Hollow there in Tennessee, and there's a statue of Jack Daniel, the little man that come up with the recipe where they sell this Jack Daniel whiskey all over the world. And the little man, I think he's about, there's an actual life-size statue of him, and I think he's about 4 foot and something tall. I mean, that's a little bitty man. Could you imagine a 4'8" man or 4'6", going up against a giant, that was 18 feet tall? I mean, the basketball players are not that tall, are they? So, and anyway, David went up against one himself, didn't he, when he was a little boy. But he wasn't thinking in terms about that he was, he knew where his power was coming from, wasn't it?
Amen.
But anyway, we don't have to, we don't need to be ruled by fear. If you're ruled by fear, then things are not going to work out that good. The children of Israel, because of their fear.
Yeah.
They didn't trust in God and they feared. And then they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Until everybody from 20 years old and upward had died in the wilderness. They went through a lot of hard times out in that wilderness. But if they had done what the Lord said, they would have went in there and taken Canaan land. And see, then years later, there come another man. There come a man named Joshua. And you won't find out too much anywhere Joshua ever did too much wrong with you. Joshua was the man that took over after Moses died. The Lord carried Moses up to the mountain there, and Moses passed away, didn't he? Said Moses was 120 years old when he died, and his eye was not dim, and his natural force was not abated. And the Lord buried him somewhere in the valley of Moab, didn't he? And then he put Joshua in charge. Well, now that Joshua, he was a man of war. Everywhere you see Joshua, when he comes on the scene, he is a man of war, isn't he? He was a man of war. But the Lord put him in charge. He said, everywhere you go, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. And he gave him instructions. He said, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, and I will not forsake thee. Then he says, be strong. Say, well, it's hard to be strong if you're not strong. Well, If you're strong in the Lord, you're pretty strong, aren't you? Regardless of whether you're little or whether you're big, if you're strong in the Lord, then you're strong, aren't you? He says, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance of land. He said, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses thy servant commanded thee. Turn not from it from the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law. Well, now, couldn't this refer to the Bible? You know, God's Word, the Bible. If we go by the Bible and do what the Lord tells us, do you think He'll prosper us? I think so. You know, the Lord has never promised to bless people in disobedience, have you? He blesses His people in obedience. If you don't believe that, you can turn to Deuteronomy 28 and read that chapter. And about the first 15 verses of that chapter tells you how the Lord is going to bless you if you do certain things. And then every verse just about after that, after verse 15, tells you what's going to happen to you if you don't obey Him. So He blesses in obedience, not in disobedience. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate upon it day and night. Do you meditate upon the Bible day and night? Do you read the Bible? Or, you know, do you say, well, I don't have time to do that. I got to watch, my show is coming on TV. I don't have time to read it. Say, well, I'll read that thing about 10 o'clock. Well, 10 o'clock news comes on. You say, well, I got to watch the news. Say, well, I'll read it in the morning. In the morning, you don't set your alarm. It goes off late, and you're up running, trying to get ready to go to work. You still didn't read your Bible, did you? He says, meditate upon it day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. You ever see people that are prosperous? Hard-working people, they become very prosperous, because they work hard and they work smart and they work according to God's Word. You know, the Lord blesses people like that, don't they?
Yes, sir. Amen.
I remember years ago, I was in agriculture class and we were in land judging, and we'd been somewhere off judging some land, and our agriculture teacher, as we come through Eagleville there, there was a light on. It was at night, about 11 or 12 o'clock at night. There was a light on there. And there was a man working in there. And his name was Frank Crosland. And I remember our ag teacher telling us, he said, you see that man in there? Said, everybody else has gone home and he's still working. Said, boys, that's why he's successful. That's why he has money, is because he works. So it says that if we do according to all that is written therein, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And then another verse here. There was a man that come in the shop and his mother had terminal brain cancer. He said, Frank, my mother has adopted her scripture. And a lot of people do that. You know, when something comes up on us, and it could come up on any of us at any time, at any day, no matter what our age is. We see it on TV, see little babies, that have their hair all gone because they're taking treatment for cancer and things like that. It breaks your heart. But, it could happen to any of us. But he said, my mother has adopted her scripture. And a lot of people do that when they get sick a lot of times. See, it's verse 9 here in Joshua chapter 1. He said, have not I commanded thee? He said, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. Well, if you're sitting there looking death in the eye, how can you be not a little bit afraid? But he says right here, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest.
Yeah.
Even into the hospital, in surgery, You know, the Lord can be right with you in it. So that was her scripture, and that's a good scripture, isn't it? That is a very good scripture, you know, Amen. To adopt. But anyway, we see here it says, He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Say, well, what about all that power? You know, well, we see once, if we go to 1 Samuel chapter 17, say, well, you know, the Philistines, the children of Israel was at war with the Philistines. And so they go out there, and there's a little shepherd boy. Three of his brothers are already in battle out there, fighting the Philistines. And his dad sends him out there with cheese and bread and all. And he comes up just about the time, that this big giant, comes out to defy the armies of Israel. And according to my books here, whether it's true or whether it's not, sometimes the commentaries could be true and sometimes they might not. But according to the commentary, it says that Goliath was 13 feet and 4 inches tall. He was a big man, wasn't he? And he was a big man, and he not only was big, he had on a coat of mail, he had on all his armor, he had a spear like a weaver's beam, and he comes out and he defies the children of Israel. Said, just send me one man, pick out one man, send him to me. If he kills me, then we'll be y'all's servants. But if I kill him, y'all will be our servants. Well, that wasn't a fair fight, was it? That wasn't a fair fight at all, was it? And old Saul stood about a head higher than everybody else around there. You remember when Samuel anointed him as king over Israel? See, Israel wanted a king. You know, they had a priest with Eli, and they had a priest with Samuel, and little Samuel, his mother gave him, donated, I give him to the Lord all the days of his life, dedicated him there, did she? He grew up in the temple, and he was the priest. And then all of a sudden, the people wanted to be like everybody else. You know, that's not a good thing, is it? You know, I want to be like everybody else. Well, it's kind of nice sometimes if we go to all the different churches and they got the same basic song book, and it's kind of good to be uniform. But if you start grabbing the negative things, we want to be like everybody else. And so they wanted a king. Said, we want a king to fight for us. In other words, Lord, we don't want any responsibility. We're tired of praying to you. We have to go out there and fight ourselves, and we pray to you, and we want us a king to do that for us. You know what the Lord told them? He said, if you get a king, said he's going to take all your children away from you. He's going to take your young boys, and he's going to put them in the military. He didn't use military as a word, but he's going to put him there out as make a soldier out of him, okay? He's going to take all your girls. And he's not only going to do that, he's going to take possession of your land. And you're going to just get a percentage of your crops. And do you know they still wanted a king? That's like people wanting a dictator, isn't it? Isn't that amazing? That people have fought and died for the freedom of this country. 58,000 men died in Vietnam. And I don't know how many thousands, have died in World War II and World War I. And, the Revolutionary Revolutionary War. I mean, this has been a magnificent country.
Amen.
I mean, men have fought and they have died in order to have freedom. And some people seem like they just, they've been free so long, they just want to give it all away.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that, that is just so mind-boggling. And I asked a fellow that one time, I said, that is unbelievable. The 58,000 soldiers died in Vietnam fighting communism. And people, they want communism.
Yeah.
That is amazing. That is so mind-boggling to me. But anyway, get back to the story here. You know, the children of Israel, they did get them a king. The Lord let them have a king. And the king did everything that the Lord said he would do, didn't he? Samuel warned them about that, but they wanted one anyway. They got one. He turned out to be a coward. Said, well, you shouldn't talk that way about old Saul. Saul was a coward. He was afraid of this giant right here. Mm-hmm. And Saul was out there in battle, and he was losing the war. And then Samuel was supposed to come and pray for him at a set time, and Samuel was running late, and so he gave a burnt offering that he had no authority to do whatsoever. And it made the Lord mad. So you mean the Lord gets mad? Yes, he does. That's why we have to fear him, isn't it? Anyway, he gave a burnt offering that made the Lord mad. The Lord said, when you go down and go against those Amalekites, he said, I want you to kill the women and children and kill all the animals and kill, you know, the Lord told him what to do. He said, that's the awfulest thing I've ever heard. Well, if the Lord said they need killing, they need to kill him. That sounds awful harsh to me. Well, but it's a harsh truth. And so he kept them alive, didn't he? He come back, he brought the king back. And he picked out the choice sheep and oxen and brought them back. And then along comes Samuel. He says, what mean the lowing of cattle and the bleating of sheep? And then he lied, didn't he? He not only was a coward, he was a liar. He said, we brought those to sacrifice to the Lord. Well, that sounds like a good thing, doesn't it? And then later on, he admitted that he brought them, but he kept them animals alive because he was afraid of the people. Here he is, king, and he's afraid of the people. People sometimes are afraid to do the right thing. I mean, wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't we have a wonderful country if everybody up there in charge was not afraid to do the right thing? Wouldn't that be wonderful, wouldn't it? That would be wonderful. But he was afraid to do the right thing. And you know what Samuel did? He grabbed a sword and he went over there and said that he hewed Agag to pieces. And you know, from that point on, he told old Saul that the Lord is departed from you. The kingdom's going to be taken away from you. And that's when they went and they anointed David. All right, and here is this little shepherd boy. He comes up and old Saul is shaking in his boots again because Goliath has come out and challenged him. Then this little shepherd boy said, I'll fight him. Saul said, thou art not able to go against this Philistine. Said, thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. I mean, that sounds like the craziest thing in the world, don't it? A little boy, teenager, I don't know what age he was. But anyway, he was going to fight this big Goliath. He said, well, that's okay. He said, I was out looking after my father's sheep. A lion come up and tried to take some sheep. And he said, I attacked that lion and said, I delivered the sheep out of that lion, and a bear said, the Lord, he gave the Lord the credit for it. He didn't say, I did it. He said, the Lord, delivered them out of my hand. And he said, he will deliver this giant. So they said, well, okay. And so he's going to give him all this armor and let him put this armor on. Old Saul was, but David, he put that stuff on. He didn't want to use it because he said, I haven't proved that. Instead, he took a staff in his hand and a slingshot and five smooth stones.
Yep.
Put them in a shepherd's bag. Say, well, what kind of slingshot was that? I remember years ago, my grandfather on my mother's side, he made us some slingshots. Yep. You know, the kind with the strings and the pocket. And he was showing us how it worked. And my oldest brother, we got pretty good at it too. And one time my brother, you know, he threw one out and knocked the window pane out of the barn. That wasn't too good. And I had a cousin come over there, and we had a big old pond out there. And I thought, well, you believe I can throw a rock over there and hit that barn? He said, no, it's a long way. So I put that rock in that sling, and I slung it around a couple of times, and the rock come out backwards. And it hit the ground and bounced up and hit him in the chin. It didn't hurt him too bad, but it knocked the skin off of it, see. But anyway, you know, those things, it didn't work for me. I would have been in a mess fighting this giant, okay? But anyway, it didn't hurt the guy that bad, so it just sort of scared him a little bit. But anyway, he goes up, he takes five smooth stones, and he goes up against this giant, and he tells him, he said, I come to thee in the name of the Lord. Shield of the Lord there. He hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. See, he had power through the Lord, didn't he? He said, I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. He said, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. And I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And you know what happened? He went up against that guy, and he slung a smooth stone. It hit that giant right in the forehead. It said that it sunk in his forehead, and he fell over forward on his face. And little David went and took the guy's sword and cut his head off. The power of God. God hath not given us the fear, the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, as we look and we think about love, you know, the Lord loves us so much, don't he? Said in Jeremiah 31:3, you know, love is one of the most powerful things on the face of the earth, isn't it? I remember my mother, you know, I loved my mother more than anything in the world. And then I met a little blonde-headed, blue-eyed girl, and I fell in love with her, and I loved her more than anything in the world. But I didn't love my mother no less. Then about 3 years later, a little baby come on the scene. A little blonde-haired, blue-eyed baby. And I loved that baby with all of my heart. I mean, buddy, you know, I sat up at the hospital all night, and that baby was born about 3:40 the next morning, and I had to go into work that day. I was booked solid, and everybody that come in that shop, I'd say, I got an 8-pound, 4-ounce baby girl. And I was so excited. I loved that baby more than anything in the world. You know, and I thought, well, if I have to, in order to give this baby everything it needs, I'll get me a part-time job. You know, and I loved that baby more than anything in the world. But you know what? I didn't love my wife not any less. I loved her more.
Yeah.
And I didn't love my mother no less. I loved her more.
Amen.
See, that's the way love is, isn't it? You know, the Lord give us, you know, when we were born again of His Spirit, we have the ability to love, don't we? He said, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yeah, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. The Lord don't love you one day and throw you away the next, does He? If the Lord has ever loved you, He'll love you all the way through.
Amen.
He said, I love thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. See, the Lord loved you so much, you know, that He drew you to Him.
Amen.
He loved you so much that He born you again of His Spirit. Every one of His little children from somewhere between conception and the grave will be born again of the Spirit of God. And when you're born again, that's evidence that you're one of His, and heaven will be your home. You know, the Lord loved you so much that He sent His only begotten Son to die for you, didn't He? In John chapter 3, verse 16, it said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that word believe, believeth, it's got a TH on it. You better stop and look at that.
Amen.
Believeth.
Amen.
You know, when that TH is put on something, you know, that means a state of it already being taking place, isn't it? Say, so, well, you know, when old Lazarus died, you know, the Lord made a statement. They said he sleepeth. That meant that he was in a state of sleeping, didn't he? Of course, he was sleeping in death. And when they come up and they saw the Lord eating with some Pharisees or somebody that they thought he shouldn't be eating with, they said, he eateth with sinners. That means that he was in the process of eating with sinners right then.
Amen.
So if sleepeth means a process of sleeping, eateth means the process of already eating, then believeth means the process of already believing. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth, the believers. How do you believe? You know, the Lord reveals it to you, don't he? You remember when the Lord came up there and he asked some of those disciples, says, whom do you say that I am? He said, well, some say you're Elias, John the Baptist, or Jeremiah, so one of the prophets. He said to Peter, whom do you say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonas, for flesh and blood hath not revealed that unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And he said, on this rock I will build my church. That church is built upon the fact that the Lord reveals himself to his children. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So if you believe on the Lord, he borns you again of his Spirit. He draws you to him. No man can come to my Father except he draw him. You've got to be drawn, ain't you? It's the work of the Lord, isn't it? It says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. How's our time running? I don't get too late.
3 minutes still.
3 minutes still. Time is still. Well, you know, we're going to bring it to a close. And, you know, we could go on all day talking about this. There's a lot of good stuff in this Bible, okay? You know, and so, you know, it's people really miss out on a lot that don't read the Bible. You know, reading and studying the Bible, that's one of the greatest joys in the world. And if you ever get mad at anybody, has anybody ever made you mad? If anybody ever makes you mad, you know, where you just, having trouble getting over it, you know. And the Bible says we're supposed to be very forgiving. You know, and people that do you wrong, you say, well, that's the easiest thing in the world to forgive somebody. Well, it's not. It's a hard thing to forgive somebody if they have really, really done you bad. But you know, one of the best things in the world that you can do, if you get mad at somebody, go get your Bible and go off somewhere by yourself and sit and start reading that Bible. And after a while, love will come in your heart, you know, and then you'll just be bubbling over with love. And, you know, and the person that you was mad at, you know, you'll start loving them. Might not forget what they've done to you, you know, but you'll start loving them. And it's a lot easier to forgive somebody, you know, if you got love in your heart, isn't it? Psalm 16, beginning at verse 8. You know, David says something here that all of us would be a lot better if we did it too. He said, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Say, well, now who is this Lord? Well, you know, the Lord is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, isn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ. We refer to it as the Lord. When I was a little kid, I used to go to church and the preacher would be up there and he'd say, the Lord, you know, the Lord you, the Lord this. And then later on, I hear people talking about Jesus Christ. And then I thought, but see, what I didn't realize then, when he was referring to the Lord, he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ too.
Amen.
Our Lord and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, David says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad. Do you want to be happy? All of us want to be happy, don't we? You know, a lot of times we'll read books, trying to make us happy. But if you want to be happy, set the Lord, always set the Lord before you and keep him at your right hand. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know that when you close your eyes in death, that the Lord Jesus Christ has paid for everything for you. That heaven is going to be your home. Heaven awaits you. Say, well, why should I be good? Because life down here is set up on reaping and sowing. You sow good things, you reap good things. If you do bad, bad things come back to you, doesn't it? He said, for thou will not leave my soul in hell. That's talking about the grave, isn't it? He said, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. He said, thou wilt show me the path of life. See, the path of life this morning is through Jesus Christ and his teachings. The Lord, Jesus Christ. He said, thou wilt show me the path of life in thy presence is fullness of joy. If you're walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be happy. Even if you don't have a dime in your pocket, you can be happy if you're walking with the Lord, can't you? He said, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. You know, heaven is the fullness of joy in it.
Amen.
Can't get no fuller. If that thing is full, you know, it can't hold no more. You put another drop in there to run over on it.
Yep.
See, when you get to heaven, you know, you're going to have fullness of joy. That means there can't be nothing added to it. It's already the maximum of everything it can be. In thy presence is fullness of joy. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And we could get into that sound mind. I call it common horse sense. But anyway, we don't have time to fool with all of that. But anyway, thank the Lord for you. And I've enjoyed being here. And I think you're a wonderful little church and wonderful people. And, you know, I love the enthusiasm that you have here. I mean, it's just wonderful, wonderful. Thank the Lord for you.
I have found a friend in Jesus, he's everything to me, he's a very starting thousand to my soul. He's the lily of the valley. star. He's the parent.